The Old Testament reading this morning is from Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 12, found on page 944 in the church Bibles. That's Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. The epistle is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Found on page 1162 in the church Bible. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the epistle. The gospel is found in Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, found on page 1003. And out of respect for the gospel, please rise. That's Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and they found a colt outside in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And
kind of hard to believe, but this is the truth. You have the grace of God, you have the peace of God, you have his mercy, you have his love, you have all of it. And you have that in Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so absolutely certain. He does. We're going to look at the New Testament lesson for today. I'd like to just bring again verses 8 through 11. of Philippians chapter 2. Regarding Jesus, Paul wrote, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may these words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Are you on your knees yet? You know, it all really depends upon what you mean by that expression, doesn't it? There's lots of ways of taking that expression of taking a knee or being on your knees. Like in professional sports, pro football especially, there's a couple of ways that that expression of taking a knee is used. One is when football players during the national anthem take it upon themselves to protest something that's going on inside of our country, something that they don't like, and so they will take a knee, won't they, as an act of protest. There's also that part of football when the game is won and they're winding down the clock, and they call it the victory formation. And what does the quarterback do? But he takes the snap and he takes a knee, doesn't he? Now, I've not been in the military, but I understand that in the military there's also a couple of ways of understanding what it means to take a knee. If your commander says to go ahead and take a knee when you've been going through a rather robust kind of workout or exercise, it's a welcomed relief where you're being given a chance to just take a break for a few minutes and catch your breath. The commander might also say, okay guys, let's take a knee, because he wants to set aside for the moment, or she wants to set aside for the moment that she or he is the commander, and they just want to kind of talk informally about what's going on. And so they're told to take a knee, as in kind of, you know, be at ease and let's just talk here, one person to another. You can be brought to your knees, can't you, by something that just simply overwhelms you and is just way too big for you. It said, yeah, it brought me to my knees. It's a sign of surrender as well, isn't it, to be on the knee. And it's an act of reverence. It's a way of expressing that you realize that you are in the presence of someone who is greater than you, and is especially appropriate act of reverence when you are in the presence of God, to take a knee. That's the case that's presented today in the New Testament lesson. Paul talks about the fact that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And the question that arises out of all of these words of Jesus, of Paul's words about Jesus, and what he has done for us is this: are you on your knees? As an act of surrender, are you on your knees? As an act of reverence, are you on your knees? As an act of the way that you will live out your life and your faith this week, will you be on your knees? The Lord Jesus Christ spent 33 years on his knees for you, didn't he? As an act of submission to his heavenly Father's will, as an act of service out of his love for us. Listen again to what Paul wrote about Jesus being on his knees for you and me. "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Let's just simply say that no one ever has, nor will anyone ever take a knee to the extent that Jesus Christ took a knee. And honestly, I believe that on this side of eternity, this is what I shared with you, Deb, when you and I prayed together before the service this morning, because you expressed the same kind of thought in your prayer. I'm not sure on this side of eternity that we're completely capable of understanding all that Jesus Christ did for us, that we will mark and observe this week. He was God. Just try and let that sink in for a moment. He was God. In every sense of the word, he was eternal. He was all-powerful. He was all-knowing. All things in the universe belonged to him because he made them. He had angels at his beck and call. He had all the glory. He had all the honor. It was all his. He was in all ways, in every way, equal to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And then he chose to take a knee. He surrendered himself and submitted himself to the will of his Father. He willingly set aside all that he had as God. He made himself nothing, Paul says. Nothing. He took on the nature of a servant. He became a human being, one of us. He obeyed even to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's where taking a knee left him. Where does it leave you? It leaves you forgiven of all your sins. It leaves you justified in God's sight. It leaves you with no debt to pay for any of your sins. It leaves you to be declared right with God. It leaves you with the assurance that you are his forgiven and redeemed child. It leaves you with and in the peace of God, knowing that he's on your side. He's never against you. And that passes all understanding, doesn't it? It leaves you with the privilege of prayer and the confidence that he hears and answers your prayers always with what is best for you out of his love for you. It leaves you with the blessing of his daily presence in your life. You don't take a step, you don't breathe a breath that he's not there to share it with you. It leaves you with the promise and the reality that all things will work together for good in your life. You can lean into him for strength when your faith is being tested, and he will be there. It leaves you with his promise that nothing will ever be able to separate you from him and his love for you in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. It leaves you with the promise of a glorious room in heaven reserved for you with your name on the door. It leaves you with everlasting life. death will not have the last word on your life. He will. Jesus will. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That's where it leaves you. And I pray that all of that leaves you on your knees in worship of Jesus, in submission to Him as your Lord and as your Savior, and as you live out your faith in Him, following His example, as is highlighted by Paul in the opening verses of chapter 2 of Ephesians. You have, of Philippians, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Taking the knee. That is to say, looking out for the interests of others. What will that look like for you this week in your life, in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your being a son or being a daughter, in your friendships, toward those you don't like, or toward those who don't like you, toward those you encounter every day in your job, those you sit in school with? How will you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Will you be on your knees? And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's